All right. And since they've not been here, let's go ahead and give our names. And so I've got this started. You guys talk loud and clear. This is our couples class going over great choices for great marriage. We'll start over here. This is my wife, Eileen, Carmen Dawson, and Takesha Reyes, Carmen and Mike Griswold, Mark and Michelle Lennart, Lilia Stanzel, and our secretary, Annette Hamlin, is going back there. And it's so good to have you guys here with us this morning. And she's making some handouts right now, so we'll give you guys a handout here in just a minute. And now you've got a 13-year-old?
A 14-year-old.
14-year-old.
Five and a 3-year-old.
Okay. Amen. Remember you guys from last week. Amen. All right.
We're trying to make it Wednesday, but you're too close to my quitting time at work. I can't make it there and back.
At 6 o'clock is a little early. Amen. All right. Let's go over to our memory verse. We had Genesis 18:19 for last week. Genesis 18:19. I do have some things to give out to my winners, and so we'll give those things out here in just a minute. Trust the Lord to work in our hearts today. We last left off dealing with choices having an accumulative, powerful effect on our life. And then we asked the question, where are your choices taking you? And we took a turn to answer some questions that normally plague parents. And that question was, as parents, we can make the right choices oftentimes to lead our children, to train our children, to direct our children, and they may not turn out right. And when that happens, we have to just say amen, praise God, it's not our fault, we did the best we could. On the other hand, we may have parents that don't raise their children for God, don't do anything for God totally at all, and their child turns out good. You still have to say amen, praise the Lord, God is still good. Irregardless, Abraham and Samson are the two guys in question that we're looking at. You look at Abraham, his father was a pagan. You know, didn't worship a God at all, he worshiped idols. And then you look at Samson, his parents did everything right. And he still turned out to be a Nimrod. So, you know, you never know what happens, what's going to happen with choices that we make. But we do know we've got a sovereign God who always does right. So let's go to Genesis 18:19. You guys should be there already. I'm going to go ahead and quote that and try and look at some things in these individuals' lives today. And I don't know if we'll get through both of them, but we'll at least get to one of them. Amen. All right, Genesis 18:19, and let's say that together. And this is being said about Abraham. And the same thing could actually be said about Samson's parents, with the exception of his children were not going to follow him. That's the exception. All right, Genesis 18:19. Let's do that together. Genesis 18:19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Father, bless down the next few moments that we have together as a couple. And Lord, I pray that you would guide in our discussion today, and we might learn more things about the parenting, but also about our children as well. Lord, they still have a free will. They still are going to make choices that they're going to make. And Lord, our job is just to put before them the right choice, and we trust, Lord, that they'll make the right choices the remainder of their life. Guide us now and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. And look at the end of verse 19 real quick. It says that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. What did God speak about Abraham? What did he promise Abraham?
Be a father of a multitude.
Father of multitude, father of nations, going to be prosperous, have a lot of children, had a promised land ahead of him, a whole lot of promises that God had given him. Okay? So keep that in mind. And he said, now your children are going to do this, and they're going to follow after you, and I'm going to give them this. I'm going to keep my promise with you. Okay? Now, contrary to that, go to Judges. Hold your finger there. Go to Judges chapter 14. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Judges. Judges 14. And Mark, you there?
Yes, sir.
Read verse 4.
But his father and his mother knew not that he was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel.
Amen. So now this one says, they knew not that it was of the Lord. Now what was of the Lord? He was going to go after a Philistine lady. And it was of the Lord, so the Lord could get a vengeance upon the Philistines. But then back in Genesis, it also says that, you know, this is basically of the Lord too. So you've got two different scenarios going in two opposite directions. Anybody want to try to make sense of that? Abraham's all good. Samson's seemingly bad. But it's of the Lord. Interesting, isn't it? What does that tell us about the will of God?
He can use anybody.
He can use anybody? That's good. Mark?
And we need to just trust that he has a different will than ours.
We need to trust that he has a different will than ours. Because didn't his parents, Samson's parents, plead with him about that? But guess what? They didn't know it was of the Lord. Yes, Connie?
It also reveals God's promise. How he says all things work together for the good. To us, it may look horrible and devastating. God's working out some wonderful things.
Amen. Ms. Dawson brings up Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Okay. Can we give one to Eileen? And,
I did already.
Oh, you
did?
Okay. Yes, Mike?
God is still in control.
God's still in control, even when it seems out of control, so to speak. So when you look at this, we can look at our children. And we try to teach our children right, try to put them in the right place, the best environment, things of that nature. But at the end of the day, if they don't do right, can we really beat ourselves up and fault ourselves? It just may be of the Lord. We don't know. The only thing that we know is that we can do our best to do what is right by our kids according to God's plan. But then the rest is going to be A, God's sovereign will, and then B, the choice of the child. And sometimes we really don't know how children are directed. I'll give you a case in point. I had a young man got saved a while back over in Belgium. And he had a minivan for his family, and his family needed this minivan. And one day he drove up in a little box car. And I'm thinking, you got a family, why did you get this little box car? And he said it was God's will. And I wasn't a pastor then, I'm just a brother in Christ. And I said, brother, that could not have been the will of God for you. To put your family in this little matchbox of a car. And to get rid of your minivan that's spacious. Now, not only do you have a family, but you've got one on the way, and they had a new kid coming. I said, and why could you sell that? And to me, it didn't make sense. I basically told him, you're out of the will of God for cramming your baby and your family into this small car. And he finally broke down and told me later that van was a source of pride. And I was prideful about that. And it was standing in between me and my relationship with God. So I had to get rid of it for my pride's sake. Oh, did I feel like I'd done it. I didn't know that. I'm just thinking, you got rid of a nice spacious vehicle to cram your family in this small car. What idiot are you? And made the guy feel bad, basically. I didn't know that it was a pride issue for him. Then he comes back and he said, you know, that thing was a source of pride. And I couldn't do that. So sometimes what it looks like to us as being the wrong decision is the right decision. Here we've got two parents, if you would. Abraham's parents and you've got Samson's parents, both saying God's going to do something, God's in it, and God's going to bless it for his purposes. And sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Let's look at our sheet here just for a moment. Because the question is, where are your choices taking you? Page 5. And on page 5, notice A, marriage, like all of life, is made up of choices. And then we came down to B, choices have an accumulative, powerful effect on life. Remember, we considered Lot and all the relationships that he had and how they began to turn out bad. And then we looked at Eli down there in number 2 in B, and how Eli had not just relationship problems, but his rearing problems as well. And then Samuel possibly could have followed that because Samuel's children seemed to turn out just like Eli's. But then we come down to C, where are your choices taking you? Knowing what B says, knowing what A says, and it says, consider Abraham, consider Samson. And notice number one says, are your secret choices moving you in a positive direction toward a successful marriage? Now, in Abraham's case, Genesis 18, 19 says, I know him. But doesn't God also know Samson? Yes. Then he also knows Samson's parents? Yes. And that's why his parents knew not that it was of the Lord, because God was going to do something. Now, how many of y'all would like your children used for something evil? None of us would. How would you like your child to be used to avenge someone that's evil? Yeah, all of us would say, yeah, we want them to keep peace and do what's right. But in making a bad choice to do right? Because again, who did Samson want? A Philistine woman. And to do this, to effect this, God literally is saying, he's going to make a bad choice, but I'm going to make his bad choice turn out good. At the end of the day, guess what? Samson lost his eyesight. He lost his life. He was in prison, and he was no longer the judge of Israel. Wow. I can't fathom that. But, you know, I can't fathom why we had a memorial service yesterday for Bruce. I don't understand why God took him. But that's God's doing. That's God's business. That's God's plan. And sometimes we have to accept what God is doing, even if it's in the life of our children. And it doesn't seem fair, it doesn't seem right. So let's look at some things here, and I kind of debated on who did I want to look at first, Samson's life or Abraham's life, and I figured we'd save the best for last. So we're going to start with Samson here and look at some things about Samson and see how, and we know that it could not have been avoided, but I want you to see that even though you as a parent may do everything in your power to raise your child right, they still may choose wrong. Okay, and that's what I want to see with Samson's life. You as a parent, you may do everything in your power to make the right choices for your children, and you want your choices to take you in a positive direction for your children, and your children may still take a negative direction. Okay, and so let's go to, let's see, where we're going to start. Let's start in Genesis, or Judges 13. Judges 13, again, considering where are your choices taking you? Okay, and Samson starts off from the beginning. And let's go back to Judges 13 and verse 4. Judges 13 and verse 4. And notice what it says, now therefore, beware, I pray thee. That's 13, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's where I want to be, okay. This is the angel of God speaking to Samson's mom and dad here. And he says, now therefore, beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything unclean, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of Philistines. So we know she did that. So she's doing right. She's doing all the things possible. As a parent, you do all the things right in preparation. You pray for your child, to read to your child, you do all the things, keep him from evil, all the things. And then you come down here to verse number 7. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, no strong drink. This is her talking to her husband. Neither eat any unclean, for the child shall be Nazarite to God from the womb of the day of his death. So in other words, he's saying this child is going to be separated to God. Now, how can he be separated unto God and make the choices that he made? Did he make some bad choices? They did. Did God say it's going to be till the day that he gives?
Well, we can be sold out to God, but because of our choices, you know, we go in the right direction. But, you know, God gives us the opportunity to just keep getting that thing right, you know, coming back to him.
Amen. So. Ms. Dawson makes a good point. Maybe he's sold out, but he may have made some bad choices, and he continues to get it right. Now, we know the end of the story because we got the whole account. Did Samson get things right with God?
No.
Yeah, he did. So what is this showing us here? That although he separated to God, so let's just pretend that this bag is Samson. He separated unto God. This is God. And God said he's going to be a Nazarite. From the womb, he's going to do my will. It very well could be that God is still going to bless and provide for him, because did not he bless Samson? Did he not provide for Samson? Yes, he did. Why? Because Samson was going to do his will. It could be that sometimes our children, we do everything in our power to raise them right, We've got a promise from God that he is going to be right. But in doing right, he makes wrong choices. Should we ever disown our child for making wrong choices?
No.
No. Did Samson's parents disown him?
No.
No. Who went to go bury him? His parents did. So although our children may make some bad choices, we don't disown him. Samson's parents still loved him, even though he had this Philistine woman. Why? They knew, according to God's purposes here in verse number 7, that he was going to be a Nazarite from the womb to the day of his death. He was going to be in God's care. Do you think perhaps as Samson made some choices along his life, especially when he acted for the Philistine woman, that Samson's parents maybe kind of talked in the background? Well, he belongs to God, you know. And so he's making this bad choice, and so that's God's business, and God's going to deal with him. We've trained him right. We've done right. We placed him right. We did everything right. So we got to step back and leave him to God. You think they probably had some discussions like that? Because the Bible clearly says, from the womb to the day of death. So that's everything in between. So when you have children and they make some decisions that really you don't agree with, you got to trust God with that and say, God, they're yours. You gave them to me to raise for you for a certain amount of time. And God, I'm going to trust you to do the right thing with them. Now, yes, ma'am?
Okay, so you trust God and give to God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I want to say it. Okay, so you're trusting God, but is like it says, you always train your children. And it says for us to go and tell them when they're doing wrong.
That's right.
Okay, so if we do that and they don't accept your advice or your authority or whatever, I mean, does it come back on you or does it, you know what I mean? I mean, because you're supposed to be teaching them, you're supposed to show them the right way.
If you do your job, it does not come back on you. As they say, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. You've done your job as a parent to discharge the word of God to them. That's their job to follow it.
Even if they don't listen to you, when they're grown?
Even if they don't listen to you. Come over to chapter 14. I'll show you what I'm saying. Chapter 14, of course, we read verse number 3. But notice verse 1. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And therefore, get her for me to wife. In other words, he's saying, I saw a wicked woman that I'm not allowed to have. And I want you to get her for me. Now, what should the parents say? Are you out of your mind? I'm not going to get that woman for you. She is not right for you. You don't need to marry someone like that. She's Jezebel, basically. But notice what he says here in verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all the my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? So what are they saying? They're trying to teach him. Now, you know the laws of Israel. You know Philistines are off limits. Do we have to tell you about David and Goliath all over again and all these other things? Of course, David and Goliath weren't there. But anyway, the Philistines, do I have to remind you that this is not allowed by us? God has told us to stay away from these type of people. And notice what happens. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me. Did he mention anything about God?
No.
Is he a Nazarite from womb to death?
Yes.
So he knows what pleases God. But guess what Samson said? I'm not interested in what's pleasing God. I'm interested in what's going to please me. Sometimes we can teach our children what's right, and our children still will say, I'm not doing that. Get off my back. Leave me alone. Do we disown our children? No. But we know as parents the consequence of sowing and reaping. You sow a mess, you reap a mess. Right. Yes, Lily?
I remember a pastor who preached a message on the universal revolution. And I meditated on that because it was happening back then in the first 2007, mm-hmm. in the 22nd Street before we moved there. And while I was meditating on that verses right there, the sowing and reaping, and it happened to my son, Stephen, that went through a marriage problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so discouraged and come to the point he didn't want to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even want to talk to me and his dad. For 3 years, we haven't heard from him. But then all of a sudden, he was looking for me and his dad. We never heard from him. And that day you say, Lydia, how come you never mentioned about Stephen? Because I never heard from him. They left. That day they got married, they left with his wife, and never, you know, we never heard from them. My daughter said, you know, he was doing it in the military and come up and come back. And I said, you know, what happened? And I did discuss with him and all the stuff he told us. Because back then he did a bad choice decision about marrying them. All of us in the church told them that, you know, it's not right for him to get married. Even his dad told him, Stephen, it's not right for you to get married. You know, you're young and, you know, you should wait for a while. And, you know, you think that this is the woman right for you. And anyway, he ended up doing it his own way. But, you know, he asked for forgiveness. He come from his dad. But then he said that he knows that he was wrong. He wasn't all this stuff. And God taken away his wife and all this stuff. And then I told him, you know, God is a loving father of God. You know, no matter what you do, you know, just go back with him and ask forgiveness and he will forgive you.
Amen.
And don't do what, you know, like what you did before. Don't let it happen again, because that decision you make, as you do that, and I, we made a bad choice decision. That's what we're teaching you. And Stephen, he was, and then after that, he, well, everything, we always job in the Air Force, and he got a new wife and two kids now, and serving the Lord. So it was, you know, with our kids, you know, so it was, I thank God I have a good pastor that teach us, you know, for everything, family, destruction, struggle, that, you know, allow me to be faithful, and I say my kids should be faithful, and I was just, they've been doing it hard time, and, you know, right there, you know, God bless you, it's just amazing, and, you know, every time that we do struggle, kids, children, family, and everything that we do, and, you know, I was, Stephen was so encouraged, and, you know, I told him, and I said, just keep on serving God no matter what you do.
Amen.
Just follow his commandment, and
God first.
So don't go back to what we used to do, and it was just now, and just like Ms. Dawson said, all things work together for good.
Amen.
So Romans 28, so. Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome. And he's serving God now again. So he learned from his mistakes. Mike, you going to say something?
You remember Brother Ron Williams?
Yes.
At Blockhouse?
Mm-hmm.
He did a good job defending the parents.
Excellent
especially
job.
When the kids don't obey. That's their main job.
Excellent
is to
job.
Obey the parents.
And I still remember that message. Yeah. That was such an encouragement to my heart.
Yeah, I bought some of his CDs. He sends me magazines every quarterly now.
Amen.
But he's rough on some of his sermons, though. But because I think his son is actually a Howes Anderson man, but he's still pretty good though.
Praise God, and he did preach a tremendous message about, you know, we can do everything that we try to do and the children still turn out bad, pretty much like Samson, but this one clearly, it says it's of the Lord. So Ned, in answer to your question, yes, we tell our children what's right, but at the end of the day, we can't make them do right. The greatest thing that our children will learn from us is that if we tell them right and we continue to do right, when it turns out wrong, when they don't do right, and we don't go back and say, uh-huh, see, you should listen to me, they'll respect us a whole lot more, because their life will reflect that they should listen to you in the first place. And a lot of times, they, you know, you heard the obituary, you know, about Robin. She said, well, I guess I was always nagging my husband about going to church. And sometimes if we nag grown children, they will get upset. And I'm not saying that you nag them, but I'm just saying that if we do, and not even just nagging them, but continue to put it before them. You know, you put it before them as often as God gives you liberty, but at the same time, they still have to live their life and they have to give an account to God for their life. What they need to see in us that we gave them the truth, we taught them the truth, but we are continuing to still live the truth. And what they do with it, it's going to be up to them, and they see that consistency.
So now that they are grown and they are making bad choices, mm-hmm. Now is God going to hold the parents accountable for not seeing that and correcting them?
No,
you know,
no.
Like telling them.
No, with any parent, you always want to, you know, help your child out, but you've got to know each child. Some children can take more, some children can take less, and so I've got to know how much correction and counsel I can give this child. Some may need encouragement. Correction in the form of encouragement, and it's still correction, it's just all in how I package it up and give it to them. So it's really going to depend on how well I know the child and what that child is going to receive, because children are going to make bad mistakes until they die. As a parent, we're always concerned about that, no matter how. I mean, my parents are still concerned about it. They know I'm a pastor of a church. They know I'm God's anointed man. They know all that, but still, at the end of the day, I'm still Greg, their son. And they will call me. My mom's there now. Did you do this? Did you do that? No, Mom, I didn't do that. But you need to go and send this and do that. And they go, okay, Mom. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, why? She said, you're my son, and I know you, and this is what's good for you. So she's going to try to counsel me and correct me. Now, she doesn't say, you better. Well, sometimes she does. Most times she doesn't. So the ball's back now in the child's court, as it is with Samson. He said, get her for me to wife. Then notice down there in verse 4, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought the occasion against the Philistines. So we see several things going on here. In verses 1 and 2, we see Samson's selfish demands. Even though Samson here is a Nazarite from the womb until death, we can still have selfish desires. Samson's got selfish desires. I mean, that's just a fact. He goes down here and sees someone he shouldn't have. I mean, we can go out there and see a car we shouldn't have, a house we shouldn't buy, a dress we shouldn't purchase, a suit we shouldn't purchase, some shoes we shouldn't have, a dinner we shouldn't have bought or whatever, but it pleases us well. We like, look, I like a T-bone steak, you know, but then there goes the baby's new shoes. So whatever it is, he says, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. So he's got selfish demands, number one. Number two, he's got something else here. There's the Savior's, he's got the selfish desires in verse 3. He says down there towards the end, get her for me, for she pleases me well. So he's got these selfish demands. He says, get her for me. Then verse 3, got selfish desires, pleases me. Has he ever stopped being God's Nazarite? No. Will your child ever stop being God's creation?
No.
Will your child ever stop being your child?
No.
No. Even through their selfish demands and their selfish desires. Some kids are going, but I want it, it pleases me. Well, if they're smart, you spank them and you get rid of them. You know, you say, all right, yeah, you're going to get it, amen. But they're going to have selfish demands. They're going to have selfish desires. They're children now. We're talking children from the womb unto death. The age and how I discipline them are going to depend on the age. Now, there comes a point when the rod doesn't work anymore and you got to start using other measures. Sister, if you try to use the rod on grown children, it is not going to go well for you at all. So selfish demands are here. Selfish desires in verse number 3. All the while, he still belongs to God. All the while, he's still their child. The one thing that you and I have to keep in mind throughout the selfish demands and the selfish desires of our children is that the Savior still has a design for our children. Notice verse number 4 again. It says down there, his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord. How could they possibly have known that was of the Lord? How could they have known that was of the Lord? I mean, your son goes out and robs a bank, goes to jail and leads the next D.L. Moody to the Lord. How could you have known that robbing a bank was of the Lord? You know, your son goes out and runs over, you know, a guy because he spits on him, but that guy had plans to go and blow up the White House. How could you have known that was of the Lord? Sometimes we don't know the Savior's design. We just don't know. You know, I can see Carmen now. Oh, Mary Bell, why did you run him over? Well, he spit at me. Then they go check his house, and he had all these plans to blow up the White House. The bombs are already in place. He was just waiting to get back and hit the button. And you say, oh, Mary Bell, you're such a hero. Well, no, yeah, for different. Now I'm this, now I'm that. We don't know the Savior's design here. You know, we have no clue. By the way, my parents, when I was coming up, had no clue that I was going to be a pastor. My mother said, you're going to be a lawyer because you lie so much. Shows how much she knew. She didn't know I was going to be a preacher. She said, you're going to be a lawyer. You know how to take the truth and just twist it and stretch it to meet your end. And it actually sounds believable. She said, you ought to be a lawyer. Couldn't pass law school, though. So we really never know what the Savior's design is. Give me some feedback on there. What things can happen in the life of a parent in relation to the child on decisions that they make, and we don't have a clue sometimes. Maybe some things that you've already seen, some things that you've already experienced with your children that in the end it turned out well, but at the outset you thought, that ain't even right. Anybody ever had something like that? At the outset it looked bad, and you said that could not have been of God. But then after it was all said and done, you look back and you say, wow, I'm glad you did that now. Probably not many of us, but sometimes if we look closely, you'll begin to see certain things. Really, just the opposite of you. My parents, I should say in concert with you, my parents didn't want me to get married either. My wife was 19, I was 20. They said, you guys are too young. Don't do this. And I said, like Samson, she pleased with me well. And they said, well, if this is what you want to do, but let me tell you something, it's different being married than being single. You're going to have struggles and problems and woes. You guys are young. You're immature in a lot of ways, blah, 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 blah. All of what she said was absolutely correct. But all of what I said was absolutely correct as well. She pleases me well. I married her. Amen. So it happened just like she said. We were young. We were inexperienced. We got into debt. We had credit card. I mean, we were a mess. Being 19 and 20. I mean, you get credit cards, you know, when you're 19 and 20, you think, we got money. And man, we were in so much debt. We owed everybody except the government. And now we had to spend the next several years just trying to get out of debt, married. We had no kids, don't say that was a good thing. The kids didn't have to suffer. We ate rice and beans for a long time. Everything that they said was correct, but everything that I wanted to do was correct. Everything that she wanted to do was correct. Did your parents tell you not to marry me?
Yeah, remember?
That's right.
Yeah, they said I didn't send you to college to get married.
That's right.
To get an education.
So we had all these things coming against us. We didn't send you to school to get married. We sent you to get an education. You're too young to get married. And we said, well, you know what? We really believe this is the best decision. Now, have a lot of people said that? Yes, your son said it, but it didn't work for him. But see, the seventh year, we got saved. And God took that and God worked that. And God said, you know what, I got a plan for both of your lives. I'm going to change you both so that you can actually tolerate each other. Because she was stubborn, I was stubborn.
Perfect match.
Yeah, but we didn't have any kids, so we had to worry about it affecting anybody else at that time. So we got certain times the Savior's design is not going to be known to us. But notice down here some secret deeds of Samson. Because, again, if you look at C, where are your choices taking you? Are your secret choices moving in a positive direction toward a successful marriage? Notice some of the secret deeds of Samson, chapter 14, notice verse 6. Mark, read that.
Verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done.
Okay, so the Spirit of God comes on Samson, and he kills this animal here, and he's going down by the Philistines. And so, is there anything wrong with killing this animal? No, nothing at all. So why doesn't he tell his parents? Anything wrong with it? No, but why keep the secret from your parents?
Maybe you thought it wasn't important.
Maybe he thought it was what?
Wasn't important.
That's quite possible. Now I don't know what the answer is, but I know he didn't, but we're going to find something out a little bit later on. Anybody else? Give me some input. Why would he not tell? Well, let's change it. Why might your child not tell you something that they did?
They say it's none of your business.
It's none of your business?
Sometimes you don't want to be reprimanded. You know, it's like you tell them something and then you hear
he gave me a laundry list. Amen. It says, he did this spirit. Now, is there anything wrong with the Spirit of the Lord coming mightily on someone? No. And he rent him as he would rent a kid. Anything wrong with that? No. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Anybody else? Why? Could it be possibly this new power, this strength, he's kind of mystified where this came from? Yes?
Maybe he'd be afraid to think he's a violent man or crazy.
A violent man? He's already asked a crazy question, so he could be, a crazy man. You asked for this wicked woman, now you're going out killing animals? What's wrong with you, boy? It could be anything else. Well, why did he not tell? It could be that the strength that he has now, he's kind of like, whoa. I could actually do some damage with these things here. You know, because up until this point, we don't see anything happening to him except for, it said the Spirit of the Lord began to move him in another area, but he didn't do anything. He hadn't shown any strength yet. Notice verse 25 of chapter 13. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtel. So, you know, at this time here, you know, in verse 25 of chapter 13, the Spirit of the Lord began to affect him in certain ways, but now it's affecting him in a visual way. And he, now, ironically, it doesn't say the Spirit of the Lord moved him to act for this Philistine woman. So what do you think the difference is between verse 6 and verse number 2 and 3? Because the Spirit of God had nothing to do, it seems, in verse 2 and 3, but the Spirit of God has something to do in verse number 6. What's the difference?
He's obeying the will of God.
Obeying the will of God?
One way.
Could be obeying the will of God in one way, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon him as this animal is upon him and attacks him, this lion roars against him, and so in defense, 5 minutes, okay, brother. So it could be that the, you know, the protection of the Spirit of God here, but over here in this area, no. And again, the point we're making here is that selfish demands and selfish desires, again, even though he's under the umbrella of protection of God, God's not going to empower that, so to speak. But over here with the Savior's design, with what's going on, God now has gifted him to do that and to protect himself. Why? God's still got something vested in him to do down the road. And so God's going to protect us.
Maybe he called upon the Lord for help in the time of desperation.
It could be. He could have called on the Lord to help him out. Amen. We don't know, but we do know that he didn't tell his parents, and it could be because he didn't know about this certain strength that's come upon him. There may be your child may do something that they don't fully comprehend why they made that choice, but it's of the Lord. And so they don't tell you because they don't really, parents aren't going to agree with this. They don't know it's of the Lord. And God's going to use it, and so they don't tell you. So how do we treat the child then? Do we reprimand them? When we find out? Come to find out, they never did find out about this. Come down a little bit further here, notice it says in verse 8, verse 7, and he went down and talked with his woman, and she pleased him well, just like he thought. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. This is the same lion that he killed in 6. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, is a Nazirite supposed to touch dead things?
No.
He didn't tell his parent that he killed the animal previously. This is the same animal. Samson is not supposed to touch dead animals. Notice what it says down there. The honey's in the carcass of the animal that he killed, and he took thereof in his hands. Point number one, that's wrong. And went on eating. Point number two, it's not just in your hands, but now you're eating it. It's in you. Came to his father and mother and gave them. Now he's defiling his parents. And they did eat, but notice this, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Mm-hmm. Samson is about to start down on a trek, a road that's not a good one, of toying with things. He's going to toy with Delilah towards the end. He's going to toy about his strength. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's this. He's toying with this thing now. He didn't tell them what had happened, although he willingly touched it, defiled himself, ate it, ingested, gave it to them, defiled them, and he never once told them that he was defiled. He's defiled them. Is he still under the protection of God? Is God still going to use him down the road? Yes. What am I saying? Parents, sometimes we can do everything in our power to teach our children and raise them right, and they can still have secret things that they do that aren't right. And not just affect themselves, but affect others and affect you. And this is all the Savior's design. Savior sees this, he understands this, he says, I see what you're doing, but you have a appointment with me down the road. And so my encouragement is this. For Samson, all of these things, his selfish demands, his selfish desires, the Savior's design, his secret deeds that he did down in verses 6 and 9, all these things, were they for Samson's positive direction or his negative direction? Ultimately. If it was of the Lord, it's positive. Because the Philistines did. Did he kill more Philistines in his death than he did in his life? Yes. So ultimately, God's will was done. What's the point for us as parents? Sometimes we can do everything that we can for our child. Put him under protection of God. He's going to have some selfish demands, some selfish desires. But the Savior's got a design for his life, and he's got some secret deeds. But at the end of the day, it really is left up to God. And if we have done all that we can do with our children, we've talked to them, we've trained them like Samson, told them what's right, warned them about what's wrong, and he does secret things that we have no knowledge about, and defiles himself and defiles us, you know what? We don't have any control over that. And at the end of the day, God is still God. God's going to do what God's going to do, and God is sovereign. And so when you look at this, he's lying, he's lusting, he's toying with sin, and are the parents at fault? No, they're not. They did everything they could, but they knew not if it was of God. What can I say to you as a parent as encouragement? No matter what your children do, love them still. You warn them about what's wrong. You correct them when you can. You encourage them. You counsel them. You do everything you can. But at the end of the day, you don't know how God's going to use that young life in their secret deeds and in God's sovereign direction that he's leading them. You really don't know. So you can just do what God has called you to do and don't have the time of beating yourself up because that's not going to be smart for you. I'll give you a verse for next week in relation to this, and it's going to be Romans 8:28. Correction. It's not going to be for next week because next week is Father's Day and we only have one service. The week after that. Yes, sir.
I don't know if we have time for this question. Mm-hmm. One thing I've been noticing here is it's even a step farther for his parents and how hard that must have been on them. We're not parents yet, but I know there were times when I, as a child, didn't just disobey my parents. I forced my mom against her will because my pride and selfishness to have her included in it. Mm-hmm. And here, granted, back then, they picked the children for the spouse for them. And he's actually telling his parents, he says, said to his father, go get her for me. So he actually included him. It was against his will, and I can't imagine how hard that is for parents here when they actually, the kid actually has their parent included in the decision. The parent knows it's wrong and strong arms them. And so they actually literally went with him to go get that wife.
Amen. And parents oftentimes financially provide for the wedding and things like that, like my parents did. And so if it turned out bad, guess what? They said, man, I invested in this and it turned out bad, you know. And I knew it. And so sometimes that's going to happen. And by the way, just for a note here, what happened to this wife? She got killed. If you keep reading on, this same wife got killed and got taken from Samson. If you read verse number 20, but Samson's wife was given to his companion whom he had used as his friend. So he doesn't even have this wife anymore. So after all that, it still turns out wrong. Romans 8:28 is going to be our memory verse we meet next. These are the people that have some rewards coming. Carmen Dawson, Annette Hamlin, Carmen Griswold, Rose Leon, Lilia Stanzel, Michelle Lennart, Annette Hamlin, who is this? And I got Mark Lennart, is that correct?
Michelle.
Oh, Michelle Lennart, okay. So you guys can get two things out of the bag. Everybody else can get one. So you guys are being commended for your attendance and for your memory verses, and I appreciate every last one of you being here. Make sure you talk to Eileen and Steve. We got two Steves now, amen. Okay, two Steves. So Steve, and no, we got three Steves.
Yes.
Steve Davis, Bruner. And Steve Bruner. So I got to distinguish between my Steves, amen. All right, so Romans 8:28, what choices are you making? Just keep this thought in mind. You can do what you can do for your children, but ultimately God is sovereign. And don't beat yourself up when your child makes a choice that you don't agree with, because God may still be able to use that down the road. We do whatever we can to show them right, do right by them, never disown them, never stop loving them, always love them to the end. Amen. Is that what you're
saying? I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes that is so, so difficult because what they do reflect on us.
Yes.
You know, right. It's like, oh,
I think that's why we beat ourselves up so much as parents.
So my kids all the time, you know, you're a Dawson. Dawsons don't do that. They say, well, I'm doing it. What am I? Insane, that's what you are. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the class today. Lord, help us, Lord, to recognize sometimes that children are going to do things that they're going to do. And it may be used of you in the end for your sovereign will. Lord, we don't often know your design, but what we do know, Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good. In the love of God, and are called according to his purpose. God, help us do right by them and by you. And Lord, never disown them, never stop loving them, but correct them, counsel them, and encourage them in the things of God. Help us be an example to them as well. Take us into our next hour. Bless our refreshments in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Eileen and Steve, there are some refreshments next door. Your children will be released from here, and they'll be coming over for refreshments as well.
I don't know if you better ask.
Okay, let me hold
it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, because you did your memory time. You had a
oh, Steve and Eileen, you guys get some out of the bag, too.
A good memory verse then. For your kids?
You guys can get a goodie out of here.
Okay.
I'm not taking anything.
Yeah,
but you did your verses.
Yes,
hey. Yeah, you did your verses.
Thank you.
We are a class. We are a family. Oh, you get a bunch of kids?
No. I was in San Diego.
Oh, okay. I got your verses. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Go.
If you're in
trouble,
Hey Shane, can you come get this one? Takesha, get something out of the bag. Girl.
Yeah, they know.